Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 90, Superstar Saga. I am your host, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host and nemesis, Pete Michaud.
Ahoy, Nemikicks.
How dare you call me that. We are back, of course, once again to talk about what's going on in the world of Nintendo, and we were off last week, so we've actually got a bunch of stuff to catch up on, including new releases and news, including our big topic this week, which is all of the craziness that went down involving the NES Classic and the alleged Super NES Classic. So that's going to be our big topic for this week, discussing what Nintendo might do as far as their classic game systems go.
I'm literally chomping at the beard. Literally.
Gross. But before we get to that, let's kick it off with some game impressions. And let's start with Wonder Boy, The Dragon's Trap, which came out on the Switch not too long ago.
Let's do it.
This game is a gorgeous side-scrolling action platformer adventure. It's a remake of an old game that originally came out on, I think, the Sega Master System, or maybe there was also a version for the TurboGrafx. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, the game is back. It is a straight-up remake of the original with amazing HD visuals. I mean, it's hardly even recognizable as the same game anymore. Mm-hmm. The new graphics are just off the chart as far as 2D visuals go. I mean, there's so much more stuff in the background and the animation that was never anywhere in the original. So it's just kind of mind-blowing how good this game looks.
Yeah, it's super appealing to me. It's got that really cool, like, kind of 2D hand-drawn look to it.
Yes, very much so.
It actually makes me super interested in picking it up, even though I've never played the original.
Yeah, I never played the original either. I mean, maybe I did for a little tiny bit, but I've never owned it. Yeah, if I played it, it was only for like a level or less. But you can play it with the original graphics if you want. You can just change on the fly by hitting a button and switch the original graphics. You can hit another button and switch the original music. But to be honest, I like staying with the new stuff because it is just so, so nice. And the game is a lot of fun, too. The character movement is maybe slightly awkward, and the fact that there's no map makes it real easy to get lost. So you might find yourself, you know, drawing an actual map, old school style.
Yeah, totally.
But running around the game world and exploring is a lot of fun, and the main hook is that you gain these different transformations and thus these different abilities. So, like, you start as a human warrior, and then you become a lizard man, which is more like a dragon, and he can shoot fire. And then you become a mouse who's tiny and can go through small spaces and can also climb up walls and on ceilings. And then you can change into a fish man, and his gimmick is, of course, that he can swim underwater. And then there are others that I haven't encountered yet. And using each of these abilities to get to new places is really fun. And just using these to navigate the world is, you know, it's just a great gameplay hook. And at first, you're stuck being mm-hmm. Each form for a specific period of time. Mm-hmm. But just recently, I got to the spot where I encountered a little shrine that lets you change to whichever form you desire. Mm. And so you can't really switch on the fly, but still
that.
it still lets you use the ability that you want, and you can change it up and be like, okay, well, I need to use some ability to go through a small area now, and then I got a power that lets you smash through blocks, and that'll let me reach new areas. So yeah, it's a very solid Metroid style gameplay design, and it's a fun concept.
Cool. Yeah, everything I've read about it seems awesome. I haven't had a chance to play it just yet. I really like the art style. I think it's definitely captured my attention. The price seems right for it.
Yeah, $20, it's not too bad.
Yeah, the only knock that I've heard is that you could probably beat it in an evening, but you know what? These days, I'm actually not totally opposed to that if for the right price.
Yeah, it's probably a fairly short game. I mean, I've played it for a couple of hours and I haven't finished it yet, but I definitely think I'm going to get my money's worth for $20.
That's cool.
If suddenly I turn it on and it's like, oh, there's the last boss, then I'd feel ripped off. But I know I've still got a couple more transformations to get and a few more areas to explore.
Right.
So, yeah, so far, so good. And other than what I said about the character movement being just a little bit awkward, I really don't have any complaints. So I think it's a very solid indie offering on Switch.
Very cool.
Speaking of indie games, though, Pete, did you see those online reports that came out a day or so ago about Nintendo kind of being difficult to work with for indie developers?
I did see that, and it is a little bit concerning, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I get that you want to have good stuff on the eShop, but if they're not allowing ports like Axiom Verge, I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. I mean, it sounds like there's so many people saying it that it probably is true. When there's smoke, there's fire. But I would like to think that from everything else I've heard that, they have sort of turned over a new leaf and they want to kind of have a, you know, a Steam-like model, mm-hmm. it makes you hope that those aren't true, or if they are true, that it potentially is sort of like early growing pains of a new console. And who knows? I mean, they're probably, if you can imagine, they're probably a logjam of indie games coming down the pipeline.
It seems likely.
I can imagine that developers really want to get their game out first on the console, because obviously the eShop is way smaller than it will be a year from now. And every day it counts, because, you know, right now there are active users looking for games to download. The sooner you can be on that platform, the sooner you can make money. And I'm assuming that there's just, you know, a logjam of developers ready to submit their game and get it on the eShop. So hopefully it's just a little bit of that. I don't know, though.
Yeah, it's not like we have any insider knowledge on this, but it sounds like some great games are having trouble even getting concept approved. For all we've seen, Nintendo has been working hard with lots of devs to get a lot of really great indie games on Switch so far, so let's hope these are indeed just growing pains, because it'd be a shame to see that hard work affected by something like this. And let's hope that we get Axiom Verge on Switch, even if it is a port, because that game is awesome.
Yeah, it's funny, because I have heard a little bit mixed messages on that, because, you know, supposedly there's some indie game developers that, like, if you're at a show now, there's a chance that a Nintendo rep might just come up to you and say, hey, we want your game on our system, which, you know, that's new territory, and it's good territory. That's where they should be with indie games. So hopefully that trend continues and we hear less of this, you know, downside of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you. Hopefully if something is up, they'll get sorted out in short order.
Indeed.
Moving on to another new release. Actually, this was a release that came out right as we were doing our recording of the last episode. And now I finally got a chance to sit down and play it and enjoy it. And that game is Bye Bye Box Boy. Pete, have you picked this one up or any of the other previous Box Boy games?
I haven't, but I have played the original. Was it just called Box Boy? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Perfect.
The first one was just Box Boy.
Yeah, so played Box Boy, enjoyed it. Really great concept. I think that, you know, they explore kind of like a lot of the options you can do with just simple mechanics, and that's kind of what they're known for. Mm-hmm. It's made by HAL, right?
Yep, so, that's correct.
So again, totally makes sense. Kirby was essentially the same concept in a way. You know, Sakurai really wanted to make a game that just featured one button, and I think Box Boy is kind of like a little bit of a throwback to that.
Yeah, the original was, it was, you know, very simple in its play mechanics and its execution and its graphics as well. The second Box Boy game, they mixed things up a little bit by allowing you to do two sets of blocks. And now for this third one, they're adding additional new play mechanics as well. Though it's essentially, at its core, the same idea. You're just, you know, spitting out these blocks and using them to solve action platforming puzzles. They really do add lots of new stuff that keeps things interesting. And, you know, the original game I didn't actually buy. I played the demo. I'm like, okay, this is kind of fun. But for some reason, I didn't get it or its sequel. And now I'm wondering why the heck not? Because this game has really, really grown me. The more I play it, the more I like it. And even when I'm not playing it, I'm thinking about how to manipulate the blocks and solve puzzles. And, you know, it's sort of like the Tetris effect. You know, Tetris is a game that people a lot of times, you know, they're like dreaming about, even when they're not playing. And this is sort of having the same effect, which I guess is kind of appropriate, because in a way, you're sort of making these blocks and fitting them into specific spots to be able to clear the levels.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, it's really addictive and fun. And like I said, there are lots of new abilities, but you don't actually have character growth. So it's like each level is very specific. Like one level you might be dealing with how things work with flowing water. Another time it might be how things work with conveyor belts. Another time it might be your blocks have special teleportation powers or rocket powers. But it's not like you ever have to choose between these. It's like, okay, you have this for this certain set of levels. You're not going to have to try to figure it out. So that keeps it on the fairly simple side. It prevents us from ever becoming too overwhelming or too frustrating. And while it would be interesting to be able to have all these powers at once, this isn't the kind of game for that. I think it works really well the way that they do it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Are you sure that it's not your imported Box Boy from Japan amiibo like seeping into your brain somehow, maybe compelling you to like the game?
It could be. Well, here's the interesting thing, though. The game is compatible with Amiibo. And if you go onto the Amiibo page, it lists the Amiibo that work with the game, and it includes the QB Amiibo.
Whoa, all right.
So it works with the four Kirby Amiibo, and you can use those to unlock Kirby costumes for QB, for the main character.
Of course.
I think that's all it does. But yeah, then there's a space. It actually says QB there. So it's like, okay, well, if they weren't going to bring it out in the US, why would it say that? You know, I could see them leaving it as maybe a hidden thing.
Hmm.
But this kind of tells me maybe it is going to be coming out. And if you use it, it unlocks a Game Boy mode, so everything turns into pea soup green.
Oh, yeah, I think I've seen a screenshot of that. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I mean, it's also kind of awful, so I turned it off after playing for it with a few levels, because I don't really need my games to be pea soup green 20-something years later.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, the game is really fun. I think it has a lot of content for $5, and I wouldn't be surprised if I end up going back and getting Box Boy 1 and 2 after I finish this one. I've been playing this one a lot. I'm almost to the very end. I think I'm only like a couple levels away from 100%ing it. But yeah, I am really enjoying it so far.
Do you think this is the end of Box Boy? Do you think that's what the name is hinting at? Or
Well, that's what they're saying. They are saying it is the end of the Box Boy trilogy, but who knows? You can never really keep a good cube down, so I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up in some manner or form again down the road.
Maybe.
But man, it's got to be hard to come up with all these puzzles over and over again, so
right.
I wouldn't be surprised if they want to take a break. But, you know, maybe he'll show up as an assist trophy in the next Smash Brothers or something.
Yeah, or maybe a Smash Brothers playable character.
Or maybe a cameo in a Kirby game. I could see any of those as possibilities.
Or maybe in your pants.
Probably not there, but to each their own. The other game that I've been playing some of is Shovel Knight Spectre of Torment. This game came out alongside Switch at launch almost 8 weeks ago, but it finally just arrived on the Wii U and the Nintendo 3DS. So it's taken me a while to get to this game, but boy, this game is pretty darn fantastic.
Yeah.
You have it too, right?
Yeah, I do. I actually have played this, and I did buy it around launch. And
you got the Switch version?
Yeah, so I own the 3DS version of the original Shovel Knight. I was a Kickstarter supporter of the game.
Oh, just like me?
Yeah, yes. Never mind. Yeah, so I picked it up on Switch, and I'm a little disappointed. I would have liked to... The game is great, but I would have liked to have purchased Treasure Trove. You know, in hindsight, it would have been a smarter choice. Now I have to purchase a $25 title on top of that, because I would like to play Shovel Knight on my Switch. But Spectre of Torment is a fantastic game. It is every bit as good as Shovel Knight, if not a little bit better. I really enjoy some of the play mechanics. I think that some of the level designs are really smart. And I also like some of the little flourishes, like being able to have a little tutorial for some of your power-ups that you get.
Yeah, that is a nice touch now that you mention it. But yeah, of course, the big thing about this game is that you are now playing as Spectre Knight. It is a prequel to the original Shovel Knight campaign, and you're playing as Spectre Knight going out there and recruiting the members of the Enchantress's Order of No Quarter. So you're recruiting all those other knights. And the main thing is not to use your shovel, you use a scythe. Mm-hmm. That's his main weapon, and you can use it basically like a grappling hook. You use it at certain points in the background, certain objects or enemies, and it works like a grappling hook. And then you also have a wall climb, you can do some rail grinding, and it's all very, very satisfying.
It is. The mechanics are really interesting, because I can't think of another game that has quite the same play style. You know, obviously there's some stuff out there like, Bionic Commando some of those types. It has a feel of that, but it is interesting. It's so much different than Shovel Knight in a lot of ways. But of course, the art style is the same. And I really like how they tied the whole thing back together again with the bosses. And it just kind of paints the whole universe in a different light. And it's fun.
It's also got that really cool flashback stuff as well.
Yeah. Speaking of like Game Boy mode.
I wasn't expecting that at all.
Yeah. The four color.
Yeah. I was thinking more is supposed to be a sepia tone than a Game Boy style. But I suppose that is a good point as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only a few levels in. But yeah, so far I'm having a great time with it. It does seem perhaps a little more challenging than the original Shovel Knight, but definitely not as challenging as the Plague Knight campaign. The Plague Knight campaign was good. It was, you know, a lot of fun, but mastering those play mechanics was really, really tricky and not intuitive. I think this has found a really good sweet spot where it's satisfying and intuitive, but still very challenging.
Hmm. Yeah, I never played the Plague Knight, but I want to, so I'll probably end up ponying up the $25 to play it.
Yeah, it's definitely my least favorite of the three, but I mean, so far, you know, nothing that has the Shovel Knight name on it has been anything but pretty darn excellent. But Spectre Knight, everyone should definitely get, whether it's 3DS or Switch or Wii U, it certainly comes highly recommended.
Now, how do you feel about your Shovel Knight amiibo?
Well, funny you should mention that, because, you know, now the co-op mode used to be exclusive to the amiibo, and it's not anymore. I'm actually not sure what the amiibo does anymore in the game. I'm going to have to try it out and see. But, I mean, as far as the collectible goes, it's certainly fine. And hey, if they made more Shovel Knight amiibo, if they decided to make Shield Knight or the Enchantress or the Black Knight or any of the other knights, I mean, heck, why not do it for all of the playable leads? Why not make a Plague Knight and a Spectre Knight and a King Knight as well? I would be down with that for sure.
It's one of the few amiibos I actually would consider picking up. I like the idea of it, and it's just kind of fun to have Nintendo support the indie developer like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not the most dynamic pose, but hey, I'm glad to have it in my collection for sure.
You're not the most dynamic pose.
Would you stop? Speaking of Shovel Knight, though, there's actually been a bunch of neat Shovel Knight merchandise released recently.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah, there are a bunch of books that came out. There is a Shovel Knight guidebook, which is basically a strategy guide. It's 175 pages, and it costs $13. And, I mean, it's pretty weird timing for a strategy guide, considering how long the game has been out. But, you know, whatever. So there's that guidebook. Then there is the Shovel Knight Codes of Chivalry book, which is an 80-page, $7 world guide. It basically just tells you about the characters and the world and gives you a bunch of background and stuff. These are books aimed at kids, I think.
Hmm.
There's also a Shovel Knight Digger's Diary, which is an activity book, definitely aimed at kids. And then Shovel Knight Mad Libs. So if butt mode in the game isn't enough for you, can make your own butt mode with Shovel Knight Mad Libs, because you know I would.
Is it weird that that has me interested?
No, it makes perfect sense for you, Nemi Cakes. But if none of those float your boat, you might be interested to know that there is another more high-end Shovel Knight book that's supposed to be coming out later this year. It is the Shovel Knight Official Design Works book, coming out supposedly in August. It is from the folks at Udon, who have made tons of great video game art books. And it's supposed to have, you know, everything you'd expect from a good art book. Key art, concept art, character art, enemies, sprites, and even some fan art. The page listing I saw was only 184 pages. Most of their art books are more than that. But even at 184, I mean, that seems like there's going to be a lot of content.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think this whole series is just a good sign. I mean, Yacht Club Games made a really great game in Shovel Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just glad to see them, you know, get sort of the funding that they deserve for making such a cool property. And hopefully it continues to, you know, propel them to make more.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's doing really well for them, and it's great that they still are continuing to deliver on their promise of additional free content for people who came in on the ground floor, people who were Kickstarter backers, people who bought on day one. All these updates, all these new modes, you know, gender swap mode, co-op mode, all that stuff, it's just a free update, and that is pretty great. I'll bet that some of the art that's in this book was stuff that was given out to people who were higher tier Kickstarter backers.
Mm-hmm.
I was not one of those, so I didn't get a cool art book or a manual or anything mm-hmm. like that. So for me, it's going to be great to be able to have this stuff, even though I didn't support those upper tiers. And instead, I'll be paying for it through a $40 art book.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, for all the terrible Kickstarter stories you hear about games like not happening and all that, Shovel Knight is a shining
nine, yep.
I didn't want to go there, but you know, Shovel Knight is a shining example of a game that is, you know, deserved every ounce of money that it got.
Yeah, absolutely, it is Kickstarter done right. A couple other bits of Nintendo game related merchandise I wanted to discuss before we move on. First of all, Viz announced that the Splatoon manga is going to be coming out to North America later this year.
Whoa.
Yeah, they didn't divulge any details about it, but there's been a couple volumes released in Japan so far, and it's cool to see that it's going to be coming to North America. Then on top of that, pre-orders have gone up for a Mega Man Star Force action figure.
Whoa.
The company Sentinel in Japan has made, you know, several Mega Man figures so far, and they've done, you know, a classic Mega Man and a Battle Network Mega Man that are out there in 4-inch scale. And then there is a Mega Man X and a Mega Man 64 Mega Man, Mega Man Volnut, that are up for pre-order and are supposed to be out in a few months. But now they've announced the Star Force Mega Man. So basically, every major iteration of the blue guy, of Mega Man himself, is going to be represented in this action figure line. And for a serious fan like me, that is pretty darn cool.
I was going to say, how many of those do you own?
I own almost all of them that have been released so far.
I'm not sure.
I have
shocked.
Classic Mega Man. I have Battle Network Mega Man. I have one of the variations of Battle Network Mega Man. I have Cut Man. Yeah, I've got a few. And the rest I have on pre-order. So looking forward to completing the collection for sure.
No, that's awesome news.
Yeah, it's a fairly expensive figure, though. It's 4,750 yen, which translates into about 45 to 50 bucks here in the U.S. So it is pretty darn pricey. But they know when it comes to Mega Man, that's not going to stop me. So. Yep, I'm a big sucker. On the other hand, if Mega Man doesn't float your boat, there is a high-end, expensive Metroid Prime 3 figure on the way.
Nice.
It is a figure of Samus herself, and it is from the renowned Figma line from over in Japan. Have you picked up any of these Figmas, Pete?
I haven't, but I have actually seen a picture of this one, and it piqued my interest for sure. The quality looks cool, and I like that you compose it and make Samus do multiple things. I like that.
Yeah, the Figma stuff is very, very poseable. It usually comes with extra, you know, hand pieces so you can put her in various poses. And this is not the first figure they've done of Samus. They had a Zero Suit Samus come out fairly recently, and they also did a figure of her, you know, in her suit that was from Metroid Other M. And comparing this one to that one, I would say this new one is significantly more detailed, which is pretty great if you are a Metroid fan.
Yeah, I saw the one where you can actually give her the thumbs up, and I love that. That's like the classic
Samus,
like, yup. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe both this one from Metroid Prime 3 Corruption and the one from Other M both came with thumbs up parts. And they also both come with Morphball parts, and I'm not sure whatever else. Yeah, like I said, they usually come with a great variety of accessories. Of course, you do pay for it. This one I've seen selling for about $80 on Big Bad Toy Store, which is pretty darn expensive. Mm-hmm. But still, when it comes to action figures and stuff, you do kind of know that at least you're getting good quality when you're paying that high a price.
Yeah, that's cool.
Moving on from there, why don't we answer some listener mail?
Mail. You got mail. You got mail. We got mail.
Oh, so you're answering the call for a male jingle, huh?
I guess so, as opposed to a female jingle.
You're just asking for trouble. Moving on to our first letter. This one comes from listener TJ McCart, who we answered one of his letters a couple episodes ago. I was not sure if that was his real name because, you know, I think if you're a Nintendo fan, having a last name like McCart is pretty great. You know, you could be like, you know, Game Pack McCart or something. So I wasn't sure if that was just something he made up, but he assures me that is his real name. His first name is not Game Pack, unfortunately, but he writes, hey, Chris, I can promise my name is very real. And then goes on, how well do you think a Nintendo MOBA would fare? That's a multiplayer online battle arena. The thought of a League of Legends or Smite-style game on Switch with regular updates sounds like the perfect companion to the plethora of other multiplayer games coming to the system. It could also fill the first-party gaps in Nintendo's lineup that Nintendo seems to fall into with regular character releases. So when it comes to MOBAs, I am actually probably the worst person to ask about this because I really don't play MOBAs much at all.
Right.
You know, I filled with them a little bit on iOS back when that was part of my job, but I didn't really play them a whole lot. But I know that they are really popular, and I do think there is a huge opportunity for someone to fill that gap on Nintendo Switch. So in that manner, I think it is probably a really good idea for someone to bring something like that over to the system, whether it's Nintendo or a third party. What about you, Pete?
Yeah, I think in general, MOBAs are kind of aimed at PC gamers. I that's kind of my assumption. And, you know, usually MOBAs kind of start on the PC and then they move to other platforms. So I think that Nintendo building a MOBA themselves is probably a far stretch. I could imagine an indie developer doing something like that, maybe even getting Nintendo's eye to create something of that nature. That being said, I actually think that something like an Overwatch is much more likely to come out. Not saying that that it will, that seems to be the rumor. A lot of people don't consider a game like Overwatch a MOBA, but I think Yeah, I think that, you know, in a lot of ways, Splatoon could technically be a MOBA. I don't want to go
all
that direction.
It has the multiplayer part down.
Yeah, and then if you play something like what I would love to see, here's my pie in the sky dream. I'm going to put the tinfoil hat on.
Okay.
I would love to see something like the Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare. I'd like to see Nintendo do something like that. Make a Mushroom Kingdom setting, and you have all these different characters that get to have like these outrageous, you know, Mario shooting fireballs and Diddy Kong shooting his peanut gun, and thwomps that you can lay, you know, anywhere on the level. And then you have this whole, you know, battle arena with these different characters that you know and love. I think something like that could be really interesting. I just don't see them making a traditional MOBA themselves. I just don't imagine that happening.
Yeah, that is kind of a stretch, but I have to admit, something like what you're saying or what TJ is saying could be very interesting. So let's hope that, you know, something like that develops on that front. It'd be interesting to see.
Thanks, Mr. McCart.
Our next piece of mail comes from a listener, Michael O, via Twitter, and he says, I have a question for you guys. With the coming release of the Mana Collection in Japan and the Neo Geo stuff coming to Switch, are there any other series you think would be a great fit for Switch's portable co-op? Things like a Final Fight set or that Captain America and Ninja Turtles and X-Men arcade games. That would be sweet, but a nightmare in contracts. Yes, I have to agree, Michael. Some of that stuff would be really, really cool. Like you acknowledge, the contracts would probably be a nightmare, but I would buy that stuff in a heartbeat. As for other things I would like to see, I mean, I love Final Fight, so that's a great idea as well. But the first thing that comes to mind is that new Capcom collection that came out on other platforms. And, you know, only a couple of the games on there are co-op. DuckTales is not, but the two Rescue Ranger games are. So I think that that's a collection that would sort of fit that mold. And then, you know, maybe some other, you know, sort of Konami collection would work. I mean, as much as I love Ninja Turtles, you know, that might be tough. But things like Sunset Riders or some of their other multiplayer arcade games, having them come over would be awesome. And then I think a lot of the Sega stuff would work. Things like Alien Storm, Streets of Rage, Altered Beast, and Golden Axe. That's another one. If they ever brought over Golden Axe, Revenge of Death Adder, the second Golden Axe arcade game, oh man, I would probably, you know, just die from happiness.
You'd buy another Switch just to play against yourself.
I would.
That's amazing.
What about you, Pete? Are there any you know, classic series that fit that mold that you would like to see come out to Switch?
Yeah, when I read this letter, I was like, oh man, you're spot on. I think a lot of those would be great. Again, licensing contracts would be a nightmare. I think like the Simpsons arcade one would be another great one if we're just, you know, spitballing and throwing different ideas out.
Yeah, if we could get through all those Konami licenses, you know, one with X-Men, Simpsons, TMNT, that would be like, you know, the ultimate collection as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Yeah, that'd be amazing. And you know they'd make money, so.
But that aside.
Oh, man, I would kill for Narc.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, a lot of that old school Williams stuff. I think Warner probably has the rights to those. But yeah, you know, bring out, you know, some of those classics, you know, Smash TV, Narc.
I'm
not sure who owns the rights to Gauntlet these days. I think it's also them. So yeah, that'd be a great one, too.
Cool.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
Cool.
Good question, Michael. All right, that does it for the letters for this week. So why don't we take a little intermission, and then we come back, we'll discuss this week's big topic, which is what we might like to see out of a potential Super NES classic. All right, we are back and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is the reported end of the NES Classic and the rumor of a potential Super NES Classic. Right after we finished up recording our last episode, word broke that Nintendo is apparently pretty much stopping shipments of their super popular NES Classic. This thing, you know, came out back in November. It's essentially been impossible to get ever since then. And now the word on the street is that Nintendo is not going to be shipping any more of these things. And Pete, I don't know about you, but I think that that is completely insane.
Yeah, honestly, I can't think of a single reason that they would do that.
It is nuts. I mean, why would they do that? They could have sold at least a million more of these things.
I would say that that's an understatement. I would say that they could probably sell vastly more than a million, but who knows? We'll never know now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, at this rate, it doesn't seem like we're ever going to know. But I mean, I thought at this point, we would be seeing increased production and they actually start showing up in stores, because that's how things kind of worked with other really hard to get Nintendo products like Wii and certain Amiibo. I mean, it took maybe a year before I saw the Wii in a store, and it took, you know, forever before I saw some of the hard to find Amiibo in stores like Lucina and whatnot. But eventually they finally showed up, and I figured, okay, the same thing will happen with the NES Classic, and, you know, by June or so, we'll start seeing big piles of them in Best Buy. But apparently, I was completely and utterly wrong. I was wrong. I admit it.
I like admitting that you're wrong.
I could not have been more wrong. So yeah, so instead of putting out more of the system, they put up a big sign that says, "Hey, scalpers, come out and buy all of these and jack up the prices by 900%.
I know. It's true.
Yeah, I just do not get it, because it seems like, you know, they could sell this all the way throughout this year, and it could be another huge hit this Christmas like it was last Christmas. So I just don't know what they're thinking by this. It does not make any sense to me. And perhaps the weirdest thing about this whole thing is that there really isn't an alternative. Like, on Switch, there is no virtual console.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's no virtual console on your current system and there's no more NES Classic, there's actually no current legal way to go buy a modern Nintendo device to play NES games on your TV. And that just makes no sense to me. So, you know, they must have something else in the works. I mean, maybe it's just, oh, we're going to have, you know, all the stuff on virtual console coming to Switch soon, so it's all going to be okay. Maybe it's just, you know, like people are saying, you know, they're going to do a Super NES version, so, you know, people might be more interested in that. But, you know, without some sort of solution, it just seems so ridiculous to put the kibosh on this thing.
Yeah, you really have to wonder what they're thinking. Was this maybe a test run for something? Was this maybe, you know, way out exceeded demand?
I guess, but it's not like the factories are going away or anything, so right. Even if they don't want to devote more resources to it, just, you know, keep on cranking it out for the next year or two until demand is met. I mean my hope is that maybe, you know, next year we're going to get an NES Classic 2 or something, you know, have 50 games this time, and they'll be modeled after that crazy looking NES version 2, the redesigned NES with the dog bone controllers.
That would actually be really funny.
I would love that. That would be awesome. I would totally be in for that.
You would.
I would. But yeah, hopefully they got something in mind.
So, okay, I have a really random topic on that. Would you mind if you put on the tinfoil hat for a second?
I'll put on the tinfoil beard. It's very scratchy.
All right. So you have to wonder, that, you know, that there's obviously a huge lack of games for the Switch as far as the virtual console is considered.
Yeah, there is no virtual console yet.
And then if you imagine, there's a lot of devices out there now that just hook directly to your television. If you bought the NES Classic, you'll notice that it really kind of was made of parts that you could get anywhere. It's not like it's a NES shrunk down and now it's, you know, just a miniature version.
That's true. It just looked like one, but it wasn't really.
It really was more like a Raspberry Pi plugged into an HDMI cable, and that's how you're playing. So it makes me wonder, do you think that there could be something like, let's say, an Amazon Fire Stick that you plug directly into the back of your television? You get a wireless controller or two, and it could be a Super Nintendo controller, because you could play NES games with a Super Nintendo controller,
I suppose.
And then what you do is you allow people to either have a subscription model, or you allow them to download games individually, but you put, you know, some sort of static amount of memory on here. You know, you almost wouldn't even need it, because the way movies stream to a Fire Stick, they could do something very similar with a video game.
Yeah, I mean, NES games don't take up a whole lot of space.
No, like there was literally the... you remember the e-reader? You could literally store the code for a game on cards.
yep, that's true.
Anyway, so you have to wonder if there's something like that coming down the pipeline, because you could even, you know, you could sell that separately and have folks just plug it in, you know, separately, or you could have it as like
the NES Classic.
Yeah, or you could literally have it as a channel on your Nintendo Switch. You know, I'm using the term channel like the Wii, but you could have an application that you boot up, and it is essentially the same as what you would find on that Fire Stick. And then you kind of solve both problems. You have this one application that allows you to access all of Nintendo's library, and any games that are available for it, you can download. But maybe, again, if you pay, you know, let's say $5 a month, or maybe it's that subscription model that they keep hinting towards, that's going to come towards the end of this year. Maybe that's how you do it, and it just becomes available.
I don't know. You know, I don't really see them going the route of a Fire Stick, but, you know, I kind of like the idea. I mean, having something out there that lets you, you know, get these classic games, you know, seems kind of essential to their business. And something that is more versatile than the NES Classic would be pretty good. I mean, as much as I like that thing and think it's adorable, you know, it definitely had issues, like the cords being really, really short, and the fact that it only had those 30 games and you were never going to get any more than those 30 games. So, you know, doing something like that would make a ton of business sense. Is it likely? I don't know if I go that far, but I don't think your idea is totally crazy, believe it or not.
So, I mean, the one thing that I will say in rebuttal is that if you imagine, the only way you've been able to access Virtual Console so far is by owning a Nintendo system. So having a device like this would sort of bypass that and allow folks that just want, you know, the occasional Joe gamer.
I mean,
gamer.
It's still a Nintendo system. It's just a different kind of Nintendo system, just like the NES Classic was.
Right. But let's say the price to play is only, you know, what's the cost of a Fire Stick? $30, $40? If you hit that price point, all of a sudden you're talking this huge market that would want to play old Nintendo games legally.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's not a big difference from what they were doing with the NES Classic. I mean, that's only $60, so it is theoretically a purchase anyone could make just because on a whim they want to play some classic games. But yeah, obviously the cheaper it is, the more appealing it is, and if you know you can have that versatility by being able to stream or download games, yeah, there could be a huge advantage to that. So like I said, I do not think it is a crazy idea. I'm just not sure it's something Nintendo would do.
Cool. You can take your tinfoil beard off.
I will do that. Of course, the rumor is that the reason this is happening is because Nintendo is going to be shifting their resources over to a Super NES Classic. Ooh. And personally, I'm thinking, does that make a lot of sense? Is there a reason to make a Super NES Classic this soon when people are still interested in the NES Classic? Couldn't they still just milk this for a while and bring out a Super NES Classic a year or two down the road? I don't know. That's kind of my philosophy on it. But let's just pretend, for the sake of argument, that this Super NES Classic is real and that it could be coming this year. You know, what would we want to see on that? What 30 games we want to see on that system? And of course, if this thing really did come out, you know, who knows if it would even have 30 games? Who knows if it would even have third parties? What if it's, you know, just got first party games? I mean, that's, you know, possibility.
Yeah.
But let's pretend it's just like the NES Classic and that it's got all third parties accessible.
Yep.
And they're going to do 30 just for pretend's sake.
I like it. Is that something you might be interested in, Chris?
A Super NES Classic?
Mm-hmm.
You bet your beard I'm interested.
Yeah, I know. It makes total sense, right?
I mean, I don't think there's any need to have it so soon. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure it has quite the wide-reaching appeal that the NES Classic mm-hmm. does. Because, like, my parents played the NES, and so they're a little interested in the NES Classic. But the Super NES wasn't the same thing for them, so...
Yeah, that's
true. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about that. But regardless...
That's true, but the SNES was, you know, that was the golden age of 2D gaming, really.
It was. It's got some amazing, amazing games, and I would line up to get that thing just like I did for the NES Classic. So That's why we have both gone through and put together our list of the top 30 games we would like to see on the system. So why don't we start running down this list? That's a lot of games to discuss.
Let's do it.
So first and foremost on my list is the most obvious one, the original Super NES pack-in, Super Mario World. All-time great platformer, in my opinion, probably still the best 2D platformer of all time.
Yep, that's on my list too. It's actually number one. I think you can't really talk about the Super Nintendo without talking about Super Mario World.
Yeah, absolutely. It is an all-time great for sure.
Yeah, you know, I go back and play that every now and then, and just the amount, like when you jump from Super Mario Brothers 3 to Super Mario World, the amount of surprising things that happen, the offbeat like enemies that you fight, the backgrounds, all of it. There's just so many surprises. It really...
I love the world map. The world map, the world design, the way that it keeps surprising you with the new levels that pop up. It's all just really brilliant and kind of still unmatched to this day.
I totally agree.
So going on from there, I think you'd also want to have Mario World's sister launch titles available on the system. So I would say definitely have F-Zero and Pilot Wings as well.
Mm-hmm. Both on my list.
I admit, I wasn't like the biggest fan of Pilot Wings. So on a personal level, you know, I could take it or leave it. But just because it was there at launch, I feel like it is a really important game to have. And so I would definitely have that on the list. And, you know, F-Zero, it hasn't like stood the test of time all that well in an era of 3D racing games. But again, it is an all-time classic.
Yeah, absolutely. Pilot Wings has a special place in my heart. I don't know why. I think it was just the right game at the right time. It's very therapeutic for me. You kind of just sit down and play it. I haven't touched it in 20 years, but but honestly, it's a great game. And I know that Mr. Iwata actually had a hand in making the original.
Oh, I don't think I realized that.
Yeah. And the music in that game is actually pretty great, too, I think. It's very like elevator 16-bit. But I love it. F-Zero, obviously a classic. The, you know, that's where Captain Falcon started. That is the original.
Sure is.
Nintendo, a lot of times when they launch a console, they release a game that is sort of a tech demo of the capabilities of the new machine. And obviously,
I would say proof of concept, but yeah, you're totally right.
Yep. And so, you know, Pilot Wings and F-Zero. F-Zero probably more so with the Mode 7 scaling ability.
I mean, Pilot Wings had that too, but yeah, I think both of those, you know, really show off what the Super NES is about. So yeah, I think because of that, they are both essential parts of the library for sure.
Plus, the F-Zero soundtrack is absolutely yes. The most rocking.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick, I think I would say I prefer the version in F-Zero X, but again, unfortunately, we're going to have to agree that game does have a stellar soundtrack. Mm-hmm. A couple other Nintendo 16-bit essentials. You know, you can't have this thing without The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, or Super Metroid.
It's true. They are both golden classics. And you know what? I actually didn't put them on my list because I wanted to have a few more weirdos on my list than you. And I knew you would say these. So here we go.
You're definitely a weirdo for not having those on there. And how could you have a Super NES classic and not have Link to the Past and Super Metroid?
Now,
I mean, I think it's almost not even an argument at this point that Super Metroid is the best game in the Metroid series. Certainly out of the 2D games, it is the best one by far.
You're right.
And for me, Link to the Past is still perhaps the very best Zelda game. Definitely the best 2D Zelda, in my opinion. And you know, possibly still the best in the entire series. But for me, that was the one that made me truly fall in love with Zelda.
Now, I'm kind of taking advantage of the fact that I knew it would be on your list, so I could have a few more goofball titles.
Okay, so give me a couple of those goofball titles then.
All right, you want something curveball? You ready?
Sure.
How about Zombies Ate My Neighbors?
I admit that's not on my list.
That game in particular was one of my favorite co-op games, really, of all time. It just has this air of like ridiculousness, and it doesn't take itself too seriously. Kind of has exactly...
Yeah, it was developed by LucasArts, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. It was published by Konami, though, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, that is correct.
And
so yeah, it's not surprising to see something with that quirky sense of humor coming from the guys responsible for stuff like Maniac Mansion.
Yeah, how cool would that be if you know, you got to play that again on the SNES Classic?
I think it did actually come out on Wii Virtual Console, so I suppose it's not completely out of the question.
I don't even think I knew that.
Okay, so give me another. What's another weird one you don't think is going to be on my list?
ActRaiser.
Well, you are a foolish fool for not thinking that would be on my list, but you are not foolish for including it because it is a phenomenal game. It also came out pretty close to launch, now that I think about it. But yeah, that is actually a great choice.
Well, thank you. Yeah, to me, that game sort of like embodies the hybrid concept of a game like, you know, a SimCity sort of meeting a two-dimensional platformer. And you know, really, both aspects of the game are stellar. Separately, they could be their own games.
Yes, they are.
And I think that's why it works so well. And I also think that's why so many companies probably steer clear of that concept, because it's basically like making two games. But yeah, just a great game all around.
Yeah, I love that game. I especially love the music. But yeah, both the action stuff and the light sim stuff just works really, really well. It is one of my all-time favorites on the Super NES. So yeah, that is totally on my list. You know, will it really be in this thing? If there is a Super NES classic, who knows? But I am certainly crossing my fingers for it.
Sweet.
I'm going to go back to a few that are a little more obvious then.
Mm-hmm.
Super Punch-Out.
Oh, man. Good game.
Gotta have Super Punch-Out.
Gotta.
It's got Heike Kagero. It's got Gabby J. Yay.
It's got the it's got my game alter ego, Bear Hugger.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Mad Clown.
That's you.
How dare you. Does Bear Hugger even have a beard?
Yeah, of course he does. He just doesn't have hair.
Oh, right, right. Can you punch his beard off? Because that would be cool.
No, but I remember him going, need a hook?
I remember him sticking out his tongue at people when he punched him in the belly. Anyway you look at it, anyway you look at his beard or hair or lack of hair or whatever, it's another excellent game in an excellent Nintendo series. And so I think it's another essential one for the Super NES.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on your list?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Give me another one. What else you got?
All right, so I know that this game recently came out on Switch, but where I fell in love with this title was on Super Nintendo.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And that's Super Bomberman.
Ah, Super Bomberman. Interesting. That's a good call. Not on my list, but not a bad choice at all.
I think it could be set. It could be a little bit set back and not be quite as fun if there's only two controller ports. But I'm hoping that I could somehow remedy that. I don't know how, but that was half the fun, getting that multi-tap and playing four-player mm-hmm. with your mm-hmm. friends.
Yeah, I could totally see that. And hey, if it doesn't have four controller ports, maybe some third party could make a multi-tap. I mean, there was actually never a first-party multi-tap for the Super NES in North America, was there?
Yeah, you're right. That was made by Hudson, wasn't it?
Yeah, the guys that did Bomberman, now that you mention it.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Who knows? But yeah, that'd be great, especially if there are four built-in ports, so there is some sort of multi-tap. Yeah, that'd be a good choice. My next pick, it's another obvious one, Super Mario Kart.
Yes, of course.
Like F-Zero, you know, Super Mario Kart maybe doesn't hold up that well, especially compared to the modern Mario Kart games. But again, it is an all-time classic. And to continue along this train of thought with Super Mario, Super Mario RPG.
Mm.
Gotta have that one as well.
Also on my list.
All right, excellent. Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of Mario RPGs since then with the Mario and Luigi series and the Paper Mario series, but that was where it started. Super Mario RPG, developed by Square. Yeah, that'd be a great one to have.
Yeah, you know, I have a really guilty confession. I never can complete that game. I've tried it maybe five times over the course of my life, and
oh my gosh,
I always end up getting stuck somewhere in the middle of the game, and I just can never pick it up again. So
weird.
This being on the SNES Classic would potentially remedy that problem.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. It's a great game. Yeah, I haven't beat it in a long time, but I did beat it back in the day, at least. But yeah, it's been quite a while.
Can I delete your save file on that?
Over my dead body. But speaking of great RPGs on the Super NES, I think Earthbound would be another must-have as well.
Yeah, that's a great game. I mean, the fact that it actually finally came out on Virtual Console is pretty amazing. And
mm-hmm.
you'd think that it's a no-brainer to have it on a new system.
Yeah, I would certainly hope so. What else do you have on your list?
I've got one that probably is near and dear to your heart in Contra 3, The Alien Wars.
Yes, that is on my list. It certainly is one I like a lot. Excellent game from Konami. Great two-player co-op. It has some fantastic Mode 7 effects that
yes,
really show off what the Super NES can do. Yeah, I love that part at the beginning with the plane and the missiles making everything burst into flames.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when it comes to third-party games, that would be pretty close to the top of my list of things I want to have on a potential Super NES classic. Going back to some first-party games, though, I would like to see a Kirby represented with Kirby Superstar. And I would like to see the Big Ape represented with Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's multiple titles for both those franchises, but those are probably the best of the bunch. And
the Banana Bunch.
Yeah, I knew you'd go there.
Yeah, those are the ones I would go with. I mean, you could say, you know, maybe Kirby 3, maybe Kirby's Dream Course, maybe mm-hmm. Kirby's Avalanche. And some of this argument to be made for Donkey Kong Country 2 and 3 as well. But for me, Superstar and the first DKC are what those are all about. And so I would kind of leave the other ones behind to add more diversity and just stick with those two. Because those two are, like you said, they are basically the pinnacle for those series when it comes to 16-bit, in my opinion. So
agreed.
That's what I would run with. What do you got next?
I have to go with the last one that has the word super in the title. As you know, there was no shortage of... actually, no, I'm wrong. I do have another one.
So okay.
I'm going to go with... Have you ever heard of a game called Metal Marines?
I know of it. I don't know if I've ever played it, though.
Yeah, it's this really cool tactical turn-based... Not turn-based in the style that you're thinking of, but turn-based in the style of you attack the computer and then they attack you. It's a little bit of SimCity, and it's a little bit of, I don't know, it's really hard to compare it to much, but it came out on the Wii U Virtual Console.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
And, you know, I would really like to see it again on this, just to see if it can find another audience to play it.
Huh, yeah, I've really never done much with that game. What makes it, you know, so good to put in your top 30?
It's just quirky. It's one of those concepts, when you hear about it, you're like, nah, maybe. Then you give it a shot. The turn-based nature of it's great. The whole goal of the game really is to be able to afford this thing called the ICBM, which, of course, is a devastating missile that just wipes your opponent off the board.
okay.
But in the meantime, it's fun to send over these mechs to go, you know, do some major damage on everything they're trying to build.
Okay, well, maybe I'll give it a shot if I ever get a chance, whether it's on the SNES Classic or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my next two are two games that have not been on any version of Virtual Console, and apparently it's just really hard to emulate them because of the chips inside, and those are Star Fox and Yoshi's Island. I don't think we've ever had a port of Star Fox, and Yoshi's Island we've always gotten the Game Boy Advance version instead of the Super NES version, so... You know, I don't know if it's possible, but I would really like Nintendo to finally crack that nut, figure out how to give us authentic versions of these two classic sort of lost games, and give us a chance to play Yoshi's Island and Star Fox again.
Yeah, I had Star Fox. I didn't have Yoshi's Island. Star Fox is a classic. I mean, they're both classics. Star Fox, again, you haven't been able to play a lot of different versions of that. It hasn't come out on Virtual Console before. So it would be great to see if they could pull that off, man, that would be pretty awesome. And then with Yoshi's Island, I actually, again, that's missing from my collection. I never played Yoshi's Island when it originally came out.
Yeah, it came out really late in the system's life cycle, so I did not have it on the Super Nintendo either.
Yeah, I played through it much later.
It got a really low score from some Chris Slate character in Game Players magazine. So
yeah. Anyways, that game, it didn't resonate with me. I've never missed another Super Mario game, but that one in particular, just, I don't know why, the mechanic kind of threw me off. I think it was Mario crying.
Yeah, I did just pass it up at the time, but I did make better and pick it up on the Game Boy Advance when that port came out. But still, I'd love to see that original comeback in its original forms it was meant to be played.
Very cool.
What's next?
So I have some two-player games that I think would be great to see. One is NBA Jam.
Ah.
Now, I know they've made better versions of that game, and there's been newer ports, but
they have, and
for some reason...
Yeah, this is one of those that would probably be a licensing nightmare, especially given that none of those players are still playing anymore. But that aside, sure.
Of course.
It was a great game for its time.
Yeah, of course. It's funny. I actually think that if they kept it, and this is what I would recommend... If they kept it the exact same version as what came out, I think that that's where the charm would be. If you had those players
that were popular
in the 90s, and honestly, to this day, some of those players are still some of the best to ever play the game.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
I just think it would be a licensing nightmare that would be impossible to overcome.
It's true.
Because they'd all need to get paid again, probably.
No, you're totally right.
But yeah, that was a great game back in the day. And that was another one that made good use of four-player capabilities, too.
Mm-hmm. Another one I would recommend is Mortal Kombat 2.
Okay.
Again, better versions out there. I just have a soft place in my heart. That Mortal Kombat 2 on the Super Nintendo was the closest you could get to the arcade version at that time. And yeah. I played nothing but Mortal Kombat 2 for an entire summer, and I would love to see it repeat on the system.
Ah, yes, the game that brought blood back to the Super NES. Didn't have just the guys spewing out milk like in the first one. Yeah, that MK2 was a pretty darn authentic port. And yeah, it was also a great game back in its day. I did not make my list, however.
Hmm. Now, one more, just while we're on this same subject. I'm going to go Street Fighter 2. And I would...
That one is on my list, and I was going to bring it up if you hadn't, so I'm glad you did.
Go ahead.
But which version of Street Fighter 2 are you going with?
You know, I didn't do my homework and remember the exact title, but it was the Super Turbo Edition, the one that had all the boss characters and the...
Well, now you're talking crazy, because there was Super Street Fighter 2, and then there was Street Fighter 2 Turbo. So which one are you talking about?
Which one was the last one to come out?
Super Street Fighter 2 was the last one on the Super NES. That was the one that added DJ, Cammy, T-Hawk, and Fei Long. Whereas Turbo just added the extra speed, and that was one with the playable bosses.
All right, which one would you recommend?
I mean, I could see it go either way. I feel like Street Fighter 2 Turbo is the one that is kind of the fan favorite. But for me, personally, I love those added characters. Cammy is one of my favorites. I think I would go for Super Street Fighter 2 because of that, or I would just go with the original Street Fighter 2 because that was, I believe, the most popular, the biggest seller back in the day, and that was the one that, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, put the Super NES on the map for a lot of players. Sure, it only had the 8 characters, it didn't have the bosses, it's not the best version by any stretch of the imagination, but for pure nostalgia, I might actually go with that one. So
you could
pick any three of them and things would be okay.
Yep, and I can agree with you on that. I think the original might be the way to go, especially if you're keeping with the original of other series.
But any way you look at it, I feel like Street Fighter 2 is an essential game to have in a Super NES classic.
Agreed.
Since you're bringing up Capcom stuff, though, let me add a couple more Capcom games to the list.
You would.
I would definitely have Final Fight. One of the all-time great beat-em-ups, and a game that came out pretty close to the system's launch. Mm-hmm. And, of course, features a man with a fine mustache, Mike Hagar.
He was also a mayor.
Yes, yes he is. A shirtless mayor. I would include Super Ghouls and Ghosts, the continuation of the series that started in the arcade and on the NES, and this time added a double jump but retained the killer crazy difficulty. And then I would have Mega Man X. I'm a big fan of Mega Man, and though there were, you know, several great Mega Man games on the system, I would say that Mega Man X is easily the best one, and I would say we totally need to include that one. I mean, Mega Man 7 is good, Mega Man X 2 is good, Mega Man X 3 is good, but I could live without those. But Mega Man X, I think, is, you know, an all-time great, probably one of my top 20 games of all time, and I would definitely have that on the system.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Did that one make your list?
No, unfortunately, it did not. You know, we would not be Nemesis if that was on my list, I think. I did have Super Ghouls and Ghosts. That was a great game, and again, the difficulties through the roof.
Yeah.
I did, however, manage to find one that I thought, you know, I'd throw out there and see what you think.
Oh?
How about Mega Man Soccer?
I am going to cut off your beard and throw it off a cliff.
I mean, it is the crown jewel of the Capcom Mega Man collection.
All I can say is, I am glad you are no longer working at Nintendo and thus would have no input on this theoretical Super NES classic. I mean, I don't want to knock Mega Man Soccer too bad, because it is Mega Man, but still, compared to Mega Man X and its sequel, it doesn't belong anywhere near this thing.
Now, I swear I'm not just trolling you. I actually did play a significant amount of that game when I was younger. And I do remember liking it, but honestly, I haven't played it in years, so you're probably right.
What else is on your list?
Oh, one of my all-time favorite series was the Super Star Wars collection.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I have to pick one, so I guess I would go with the original. But
you know, I really like that game too.
Yeah, they're all excellent.
It's not actually on my list, but I really like Super Star Wars. I think it kind of gets a bad rap from some people, but I still really, really like that one.
Yeah, as far as the licensed title goes, that was amazing. I mean, you have a diversity in levels, The game design is pretty good. I mean, there's a couple parts that are like super, super tedious. I remember trying to get into
There's a couple parts that are cheap, but still, yeah, overall, it's really fun. And I mean, compared to the movie, there's some stuff that's just so ridiculous, you can't help but laugh. But yeah, I really, really liked all those, especially the first one. And it was re-released on current systems not too long ago. So I think there's actually a chance this one could come out in some way or form if LucasArts wanted it to.
Plus, if you're going to use Mode 7, I mean, that game had it in spades.
Yep, had the Death Star Trench Run, and it had the whole part in Tatooine where you just ran around murdering Jawas.
Kentucky!
Yep, yep. Speaking of great third-party games, here's a bunch from Konami that I would love to see on the system. You already mentioned the Contra 3, but in addition to that, Super Castlevania 4, Gradius 3, Legend of the Mystical Ninja, and for something a little bit more obscure, Axlay, which is like my personal pick for the best shooter on the Super NES. I mean, I guess, you know, maybe Contra's better, but as far as like an outer space type of shooter, I love Axlay. It did some really cool stuff with Mode 7, so it sort of had this you know, pseudo 3D effect. And, you know, it's out on Virtual Console. You can go and check it out. But it's a really, really great and underappreciated shooter. It's just as good as, you know, some of the other top-notch Konami stuff that's available. So I would love to see that one.
You know, I had none of those on my list. What is wrong with you? They're all great titles.
What is wrong with you?
For sure. You know, I just had room. I had to make room for Mega Man Soccer. I mean, come on.
Okay, so what is on your list then?
You know, Blizzard makes great games, and one that I kind of fell in love with back in the day was Rock and Roll Racing.
Oh, yeah. That's actually a fantastic game.
It felt like the RC Pro-Am that we never got on the Super Nintendo. And it just, you know, the between the sweet rockin' soundtrack and, you know, the some of the characters that are just super outlandish and alien, I think that game is one that stands the test of time on the Super Nintendo.
It does. I kind of forgot about that one. I don't think it would have made my top 30, but it is a really, really excellent game, and I don't blame you for putting it on there. Like you said, the music is fantastic. The characters are really interesting. The controls are also really good. It has some really cool voice work. Like, it had like this running commentary during the races, and it wasn't extensive, but it was really, really good. So yeah, it's a great pick.
I remember that. Oh, wow. Thanks, Chris.
I commend you. So the next two on my list come from Square.
I was wondering when you would get to these.
Yes. So I'm going with Final Fantasy III, also known as Final Fantasy VI, and Chrono Trigger. Still, to this day, probably my two all-time favorite role-playing games, you know, from any era on any system. They're two of the all-time classics. And, you know, if we could get those on a Super NES Classic, I mean, that would make it worth the price of admission alone, you know?
I'm right there with you. Those games are insanely classic. Like, you almost can't have a SNES Classic without having those games.
Yeah, I mean, and if we can't have them both, at least one or the other, you know?
Yeah, so I'll do you one better. I actually had Final Fantasy II or Final Fantasy IV, as it's all also known, as well as...
I can see that.
The Secret of Mana.
Ah.
Again, if they were going to release a multi-tap or some third-party version, you would not do wrong by playing Secret of Mana with two other friends.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's like the next best thing to, you know, co-op Zelda, pretty much.
It's true.
I mean, of course, you don't have you know, two characters right there at the beginning. You have to, you know, progress through the game to get the other characters. But yeah, there really aren't enough games like that out there. And so that, again, would be a fantastic choice. Final Fantasy 2 or 4, if you will. You know, I don't like as much as 3/6, but I will still give you that it's a good game. So certainly those would be fine additions to the system. Okay, so all the games that I've talked about so far, I think, are actually ones that are fairly much in the realm of possibility as far as my picks go. These next few, I think, are a little more obscure and a lot less likely to be on a potential Super NES Classic, but I'll mention them nonetheless. And people who listen to the show have obviously heard me talk about these titles before.
Let's do it.
So first we've got Soul Blazer, which is a fantastic action RPG. You know, slightly in the Zelda mold and sort of a spin-off of ActRaiser. We have its sequel, Illusion of Gaia, which is another action RPG. And even though it was published by Nintendo, has never been released on Virtual Console or anything, but personally, I would love it. Demon's Crest from Capcom, which is, you know, that's the one where you play as the gargoyle from the Ghosts and Goblins games. And, you know, there was previously installments on the Game Boy and the NES, and this is sort of the third game in the series. It is on Virtual Console, so, you know, perhaps this isn't totally crazy, but, you know, there's so many other big games on the system, I think it's kind of a long shot, but it's still really, really fun and totally great looking as far as 16-bit games go. And then Super Double Dragon. That's a game that has pretty much been, you know, lost to time, hasn't ever come out on Virtual Console, but it is a fine, fine two-player co-op beat-em-up, and I would love to see it make a return, so why not put it on the Super NES Classic?
Agreed.
Else, was any of those made your list?
Nope, none of those, but it did have one in that same vein in Battletoads.
That's, I think, even a bigger long shot, since that's owned by Rare.
Yeah. Now, the likelihood of that coming out for the Super NES would be very, very low, but still a great game.
Yeah, I never got terribly far in the Super NES version of Battletoads in Battle Maniacs, as it is known. Did you ever beat that game or anything?
Oh, no. That game is ridiculously hard.
It is hard as heck. Yeah, I have fond memories of going over to my friend's house and playing that one, and they have that wavy flag at the beginning. One of my friends always yell, "Sprite technology!" every time he saw that. So is there anything else on your list, or is that the whole thing?
I have two more, actually, and they both fall into the same genre. We haven't really covered this one yet, I don't think. You know, you can't really have a collection like this without having a Tetris game.
Well, you can, because the last one Nintendo did didn't have one of those, but by all means, go ahead.
Yes, you're right. Tetris and Dr. Mario would be my choice if you had to.
Yeah, that's a fine game. It's also kind of cheating. It puts two games in one, so yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's right. Good pick. Tetris Attack would be my other. And as some people know, it was originally Panel de Pan, and then, of course, they've done other versions like Pokemon Puzzle League. But this one is a classic, and I still believe it's probably the best version of the title. And I would like to have it on a collection.
Yeah, good call. I wasn't really thinking of any puzzle games. So, yeah, I think those would be decent additions.
Little known fact about Tetris Attack, some of the product testers at Nintendo really enjoy that game. I'm just going to say.
Okay. Well, I guess that just leaves me to give my last pick. And sort of like Battletoads, this one is a complete out there long shot, but I would personally love to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles in Time from Konami make a comeback. Again, it's Konami. It's a license they don't have anymore, but it was a fantastic co-op game. And so if they were somehow able to work that out, I think that would be amazing because it is one of the best games on the Super NES, in my opinion.
Totally agree with you.
I think you mean you totally agree with me. There you go. You got my top 30. You got your top 30. Hopefully this thing is real, and at least a good chunk of those titles really do wind up on the system.
You know, I have to name some honorable mentions because I'm just noticing we've missed a couple.
Like Super Mario All-Stars?
Well, I don't know if that one makes sense because, you know, you're almost giving people some of the NES games for free. And
yeah, that's why I didn't put it on my list since we already got most of those games on the NES Classic. But sure, what are your other honorable mentions?
My other honorable mentions would be Mario Paint. I don't know how they'd pull that off without a mouse. But
that'd be hard without a mouse.
But people love that game, and I think that would be a welcome addition. And we also didn't touch anything with a Super Scope, and that was a huge part of the console.
Not for me. I hated that thing.
So do you think
that thing can stay buried forever?
Do you think they'd release a Super Scope Classic?
If they made a Super Scope Classic, I would probably buy it, but I would hate myself for it.
What if they made a Super Scope Amiibo?
Yes, I would buy the Amiibo. Well, does that wrap it up for this week's big topic?
I think it does. I think we've got it covered.
All right. Well, in that case, I guess that kind of does it for this week's episode. But before we go, we still have time for one more thing.
A dramatic reading?
That's right. A dramatic reading. This time from the manual of the NES game Paperboy. It's early morning and the birds are singing. That familiar twap could only mean one thing. The paperboy is in town. Through sleepy eyes, you deliver newspapers to your loyal customers. While this may sound like an easy job, you'll need all your riding skills just to survive your route through the jungles of suburbia. At the end of each day, your hard-nosed boss reviews your performance. If you did well, you get to wake up bright and early the next day and make your rounds again. If you didn't make the grade, maybe there's a job for you down at the local fast food joint.
That's all we got.
Yep.
Wow.
That's all it's got for Paperboy. It's a rough life.
Classic writing. Yeah, it really is. I like how your reward is you just get to do it again.
I know. Like, you are literally facing off against death in that game. There's like killer dogs and muggers, and I believe Death himself actually steps out in front of you, and that's your reward. You get to do it again the next morning, and no one really cares.
It's almost like this podcast. Hey!
I don't even know what to say about that. Anyway, that does it for this week's show. As always, you can find us at powerprose.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsePod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can find Pete at BurlyRedYeti. You can email us at powerprosepod@gmail.com, and of course, if you like the podcast, it would be swell if you would give us a rating on iTunes. For myself, Pete Michaud.
It's been real.
And Pete's secret love child, Roy Koopa.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, ah.
We will see you next time.